to the Days of Thunder NASCAR podcast with Cruz.
Hey, thanks for joining me for a new episode of the Days of Thunder NASCAR podcast. I'm your host, Cruz, and I wanted to get this out earlier, but truthfully, I went to Kansas last week, then I had to fly to Charlotte, to Chicago, and back home, so it's been pretty chaotic for me over the last week and a half, but it's great to be back in the studio recording a new episode. I'll give you a recap on the Kansas Speedway race as far as a behind-the-scenes look. Also, we'll talk more about that amazing race at Darlington, and there has been some serious NASCAR news and garage news over the last week and a half. We'll recap it for you here as we kick off the Days of Thunder NASCAR podcast.
Time now for your race day rewind.
So again, a big shout out and thank you to Kansas Speedway for having us for the incredible race. I mean, 0.1, the closest finish in NASCAR history between Kyle Larson and Chris Buescher. What a race. Now, truthfully, I didn't know if they're going to get it in. We got there about 11 o'clock and started hanging out in the media center, went out in the garage, and then it started pouring. And then it would stop. And then it started raining again. And it was just one of those days at the track. You've been there before, I'm sure. And we're kind of just questioning, okay, what is going to happen? Are they just going to push it to Monday? Because if they were, it was going to be a problem because I had to fly out to go to Charlotte the next day. But thankfully, the track crew was on top of it. Big shout out to them. I don't think they get enough credit for helping get that race ready. Now, when the green flag started, it was awesome to be in the pits again, walking up and down pit road, seeing the cars up close and personal in action. That never gets old. Now, I have an entire recap video and an article too, if you'd like to read it. You can check it out at thebull1051.com or our q1021.fm website. Also, it's on our social media pages, but I do a pretty good quick recap. The video is a couple minutes long, but it shows just behind the scenes. Getting to meet Bill Elliott was incredible. Like, I never thought that would happen. I was wanting to meet Jimmy, to be honest with you, but Bill is hanging out in the pit, so you know I had to say hi to Bill, get a picture, and he was such a cool guy. But yeah, it was a great day at Kansas Speedway, and we cannot wait to get back there for the fall race. So thanks again to Matt and Trey, the team there, for a wonderful, wonderful race and their hospitality. Well, let's get into the big race that took place at Darlington. Wow. I mean, we've had some great races this year. Darlington definitely in the top five. It was the Goodyear 400. Now, some of my takeaways from the race itself was RFK. Wow. They are definitely leading the pack as far as the Fords getting the Blue Oval, their first win of the season. Now, it was either going to be Chris Buescher or it was going to be Brad Keselowski. You know that those Fords weren't going to let Tyler Reddick get that win. Now, unfortunately, Tyler kind of got into Chris Buescher there at the end. I don't think it was intentional for the most part. I think he was just going for the win, one of those racing deals. But Brad Keselowski benefited from that, getting the win, breaking his winless streak, which was awesome. Again, the first win for Ford this season and a great win for that organization. Another takeaway that I had from Darlington is some great finishes from some teams that really needed them. Ty Gibbs with his best career finish at second. Also, Josh Berry finishing third for Stuart Haas Racing. Chase Briscoe finishing fifth. Great run for them. Justin Haley, though, this one really stood out to me. He finished ninth. What an amazing finish for that 51 team. They definitely needed that, and it was not a fluke. They were doing some pit strategy the entire race, and it definitely worked out in the end. But yeah, big shout out to all of those drivers on their great finishes at Darlington. And my last takeaway from Darlington was Hendrick Motorsports in the number 5 team. Now, Kyle did not have the finish he was hoping for, but I just want to emphasize that paint scheme and how beautiful it was, how really nostalgic it felt. I mean, that car had a feel to it, right? Terry Labonte was there at the race in a fire suit down on pit lane. Like, that was cool to see. And it definitely had some 90s throwback vibes. Because truthfully, I'm starting to feel like the Darlington throwback has ran its course. Because it's the same paint schemes for the most part every year. I mean, how many Days of Thunder throwbacks do we need? We've seen them before. I mean, Kyle Larson topped it when he was driving for Chip Ganassi in that 42 mellow yellow Chevy. So it's going to be hard to top that, and it's, to me, never been done, except for this weekend when it comes to the number 5 team and Terry Labonte's Kellogg's throwback. It sucks they couldn't get Kellogg's on the car, by the way. I mean, they've got the money for sure. But either way, an awesome tribute to the Iron Man himself. The race results from Darlington coming in at fifth. Chase Briscoe, great run for them. Denny Hamlin at fourth. Also, Josh Berry, great run for him, finishing third. Ty Gibbs, as I mentioned, finished second. And Brad Keselowski pulling out the win. The point standings after 13 races, Denny Hamlin sitting at the top of the leaderboard. Also, William Byron at second, Kyle Larson third, Chase Elliott at fourth, and Tyler Reddick coming in fifth. Let's hear from Darlington race winner Brad Keselowski.
Your first win is always really special, and then there's, you know, these other moments in between. You know, winning here in 18 and sweeping the weekend was awesome. That's one of the best weekends of my life. I remember coming home from that and thinking, you know, this is as good as it gets, right? And, you know, then you have other wins that, you know, you mean a little less. You're like, oh, that kind of feel guilty about that, right? I don't want to take those for granted. But Darlington, to me, has its own thing about it, its own mystique, where it's always been like this really tough driver's track. And, you know, to win here multiple times kind of puts you in a crowd of drivers that I think most of us would recognize as elite. And so, you know, it feels really good because not of what it means, you know, whether it be the fame or the money or all that, and not really even about you know, other people cheering and being excited. I'm glad my fans are happy. I think that's awesome. But it's like a self-respect thing when you win at Darlington, right? Because as a driver, we all know when we come here how tough this place is. And when you win here, like, you, as a driver, and you know what it means, it's like you almost respect yourself, right? And that sounds kind of egotistical as I'm saying it, but I don't know how else to say it, but... there's certain wins that you just look back on a driver's career and they look back on a driver's career and they say, this one means a lot to me personally because I know what Darlington is. I know what it means to the sport. I know what it means to win here. And I'm glad to be on that list multiple times.
NASCAR News Now.
NASCAR releasing the top five drivers in the All-Star fan vote. Now, the top five right now are Noah Gragson, Carson Hocevar, Corey LaJoy, Alex Bowman, and Bubba Wallace. You can vote on these to see who gets into the All-Star race at North Wilkesboro at NASCAR.com. And a big shout out and congratulations to Eric Jones and his wife, Holly. They announced on social media that they are expecting their first child this November. Of course, Eric is the current driver of the number 43 Toyota for Legacy Motor Club. And again, this is the couple's first child. So a big shout out and congratulations to them. Amazon announcing a new documentary that will be out on Dale Earnhardt Sr. next year. So this documentary will lay out the history of the Earnhardt family in NASCAR. And it claims that it's going to give us access and never-before-seen footage. Now, no release date has officially been announced yet, but Dirty Mo Media will be working on this project, and the title is still yet to be determined. But yeah, a new Amazon Prime documentary coming out about Dale Earnhardt Sr. Count me in on that. And so big news you probably heard by now, Micah McDowell with a surprising move, leaving Front Row Motorsports to head to Spire. Now again, this is very surprising. I read the news that he was leaving, and then right after that, when I was scrolling down, the news that he was going to race for Spire Motorsports next year, which is, again, surprising because Front Row has been doing very well. And where Michael spent most of his NASCAR career at. So there's definitely something brewing behind the scenes when it comes to Front Row. There have been rumors that they're merging with Stuart Haas. Who knows? But Michael McDowell felt compelled enough to leave that team that he kind of helped build. Again, very surprising move there. And I think more news is going to start coming out with Front Row Motorsports, Ford, Stuart Haas. There's stuff brewing behind the scenes. I just don't know what it is yet. And speaking of Stuart Haas Racing, the rumors are continuing. What are they doing next year? Are they downsizing? There's rumors they're selling two charters. There's also rumors that Gene and Tony have decided to sell the entire team. Who knows what's going on, but it is still a mess. Everything right now is pure speculation, but it's definitely got to be a distraction for the drivers and their teams. I mean, it has to be, right, to not know what you're going to do next year for jobs. I hope they get this figured out. I hope a lot of this rumor is just that, just rumors. But we'll see what happens with Stewart Haas Racing for 2025. Again, nothing officially announced as of yet. And finally here, Jimmy Johnson announcing that he will join the NBC broadcast for the Indianapolis 500 and some NASCAR races. So that's pretty exciting news. I think they're trying to fill the hole there by Dale Jr. and NBC not re-signing him. But I think Jimmy's going to be just fine in the booth. I mean, we got to hang out in his pit box there at Kansas. It didn't end up like everybody was hoping, but it was cool to be around the legacy guys. And it'll be great for NASCAR to have him back in the booth. So there you go.
This is your Days of Thunder NASCAR podcast.
Well, NASCAR continuing with the throwback vibes as the Cup Series heads to North Wilkesboro for the All-Star Open and Race. It's happening this Sunday. Green flags around 4:30. The All-Star event itself will kick off around 7. You can watch this on FS1 or you can listen to it on PRN. Head on over to NASCAR.com to vote for the top five for the fan vote to get into the race. My top performers for the race, I'm going to go with Denny Hamlin, Tyler Reddick, and I think Ryan Blaney has a pretty big rebound. He's had an up and down season, but I think North Wilkesboro is a great track for him. My dark horse, I'm going to go with Harrison Burton. You know, not sure what he's going to do next year, so he needs to have a pretty good run, and I think it'll happen this Sunday. Well, thanks again for joining me for a new episode of the Days of Thunder NASCAR podcast. Special thanks to Kansas Speedway for having us for the Advent Health 400, a wonderful time there. Don't miss the Hollywood Casino 400 coming up this fall. It is a playoff race, so keep that in mind. The action was crazy this last race. Wait till it happens in the fall. So yeah, get more details and your tickets at kansasspeedway.com. I'm going to get out of here. Enjoy the race this weekend at North Wilkesboro, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to Cruise and the Days of Thunder podcast. Find out more NASCAR info at thebull1051.com.